All hail the king. It is a Tuesday on the beat, the Austin and Berm show, but it's not Berm on Tuesday. It is television, 10 TVs, Adam King. And I think it's somewhat unfair. You always miss the stock watches. You don't get to give your picks. We always give you questions. You don't get to provide the answers. Today, I want you to give answers.
I'll say this. I feel bad for the viewers because Berm is just such a good looking man. And you turn it on and then you're off. There's that king guy again. This is
Look at his hair. Look at his suit.
I did it's have to fix my hair before this, I will tell you. Austin just stood here and waited while it took me about 45 minutes to fix my hair.
I learned a lot.
Still a little bit out of
place. I mean, I'll try and get to that level at some point. I'm not going to wear a suit. Great. At some point, maybe I'll wear a suit and you'll wear a quarter zip.
And I'll wear the Travis Matthew. Acting like a Travis Matthew quarter zip isn't nice. You know?
All right, fine, whatever. It's a talking Tuesday. And as I mentioned, it's always questions. Let's have some answers. Because I'm curious, you know, Berm and I have talked the last couple of weeks, made some picks, whether that's freshmen, whether that's guys that we think are going to make a big jump forward. I wonder where you're at. Some under the radar picks from Adam King that you maybe have questions, but you think these people are going to be answers for the Buckeyes once we get to July 31st and beyond in training camp.
My first one that jumps out to me, and I feel, you know, what's weird is that it feels like it's not an under the radar player, but it does because no one's talking about him. People are kind of looking past him to Mylon Graham. People are talking about Carnell and Jeremiah. And my answer is Brandon Ennis.
I
feel like Brandon Ennis is a very, very good receiver. First of all, who knew that wearing the number one made you faster? I mean, the man just looks so sleek in that number one.
It's a scientific fact.
It is. You go to single digits and you look faster.
It's less fabric.
That's what it is. You're exactly right. Cause you got to spread it out wide. Yeah. You know? I just feel like I can't believe I'm saying that Brandon Ennis is under the radar, but it does feel like people are. And Mylon Graham is going to be an amazing receiver. He's going to have a huge impact this year. We know about Carnell. We know about Jeremiah. But it just feels like we are completely overlooking someone who took a big step up last year and really filled a role at multiple times throughout the season. He was in big moments in games. And that's when you know a coaching staff trusts the player. Everybody's going to get reps, especially for Ohio State when they're winning games 45-0.
Yeah.
It's who's getting the reps in the biggest moments. I mean, I think about the touchdown against Penn State. First of all, genius play call. but then, you know, you're putting the biggest game of the season, arguably the pinnacle of the season.
Make or break point.
Yes. I remember saying last year ahead of that game, like, this is it. Either all the worries are gone or, you know, all the worries are compounded out of that game.
Especially on the heels of what happened against Nebraska.
Exactly. Yeah. And so to put that in some hands like Brandon Ennis, I think that says a lot. I think this coaching staff, Brian Hartline's very high on him. I just feel like I don't hear his name said really at all. Everybody just starts going down their list. And I mean, I hear Porter more than I hear Ennis. And I'm like, okay, let's take a step back.
Tap the brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for a former number one ranked recruiting wide receiver to be like under the radar, not talked about. In fact, it might only be possible for that to be
at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. So I do think you're right. And part of it is we have a tendency to, all right, well, here's the established thing. Get some hype, get some buzz for that. And then what's the next thing after that? And you lose track in the middle because there's a bunch of guys that you could throw out in that same boat. It applies not just to Brandon Ennis. He's into his career a little bit further along than, let's say, you know, Aaron Scott. You know, we can name a bunch
of players. But Aaron Scott's very outward about the fact that people are overlooking him.
He is, indeed. And maybe that's one of your answers for Ohio State as well that we could get to. I don't mean to steal it from you, but we always...
That's it.
We have a tendency.
Those were my two answers. We're done.
For it, that's the end of the show? All right, well, this was very easy. Thanks for joining us on Talking Tuesday. But, you know, I think we see that a lot. And Bryson Rogers is right in that same sort of boat.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, you can't just skip right ahead to Mylon Graham or Quincy Porter and forget that what's in the middle there. The same is true for you're looking at Jermaine Matthews and Davis Nigbinosun. And all right, well, here Devin Sanchez is here. Well, Aaron Scott was a five-star too. You know, we'll see what that looks like for these guys once they get into camp. But they have had multiple years of development in the program. And someone like Brandon Ennis, which I think is a great point that you bring him up, he's been already on the leadership committee. He was a year ago for Ohio State. Everyone in the Woody knows how valuable he is. They know what he can do. He had to, and 130 other programs in the country be like, here's your NIL money. Please leave Ohio State. And he didn't do that. And he certainly could have after Emeka decided that he was going to come stick around for another year. That was a, for someone with the reputation and the recruiting profile and the high standards for himself that Brandon Ennis has, could have easily said, you know what, I don't need to wait. Chose to. And then we're, I think we're going to see for Ohio State what that patience looks like. As you mentioned, he's, if they called on him, which they did against Penn State, he delivered. Well, now they're going to need him to not just step up in one moment or two moments, but every moment that Emeka was in, a lot, like that slot work is going to Brandon Ennis. And that's going to be really important for Ohio State's starting quarterback.
And I think maybe, and this is where I get a little, why I say he's underrated, is I don't think there's that much of a fall off between Emeka and Brandon Ennis. I mean, obviously.
Sounds crazy though, right?
It does. And reps matter. I mean, we're talking about Emeka, who is, you know, going to be amazing in the NFL. But I think that peak Brandon Ennis could get very close to peak Emeka Abuka. And I think maybe that's more of a testament, and this sounds insane because you think about the wide receiver rooms that Ohio State's had. The talent there has just reached a boiling point of so many, like, just not just great receivers, but elite receivers.
Stars,
yeah. Yes. Like, you know, Mylon Graham is, in his own right, the same level as, some would say, Garrett Wilson. And yet it's hard to put him on that level because there's only so many reps to go around and so many balls to throw. And so at the end of the day, you're like, well, you can't compare him to that. He's never played a snap. Well, it's because, you know, he came in a little late.
And I will.
And so I think that's it's an unbelievable problem to have. And I look back, almost reminds me of when Marvin Harrison Jr. was coming up and everyone's like, I'm telling you, this guy's great. And you're like, well, you got Chris Olave and Garrett, quit talking about that guy. And all of a sudden you look around, you're like, okay, well, that guy might have been the greatest receiver ever. Well, here's Jeremiah Smith. He might be the greatest receiver. I mean, it's exhausting, but at the end of the day, I think Brandon Ennis is one of the most consistent pieces in this Buckeye receiver room. If you said to me, I need a pass, I need a first down, I think Brandon Ennis can get it for me. And you know, I know Jeremiah, I can throw the ball up and he'll jump 85 yards in the air and grab it. I know Carnell's...
You've been playing the video game
too
much.
Yeah, you're right. I know Carnell's amazing, but I just think we're not talking about number one enough.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago with Jeremiah, which is... appreciate what is happening right now because we sometimes use that generational tag too much, but like he is pretty much one of one. But I think if you zoom out and then you look at this sustained run of excellence that you're mentioning with all the stars and one after the other after the other, surely it can't last forever.
Don't call me Shirley.
It was an accident. I'm sorry, Mr. King. But like if maybe it is sustainable forever, but at some point, there isn't going to be another Jeremiah Smith, and you're not going to have six guys lined up like Brandon Ennis and Bryson Rogers and Carnell Tate and Quincy Porter. Maybe Brian Hartline is just so good that that's going to last forever, and that there's a wide receiver tree that he has planted, and it's going to bear fruit forever. But I'm just saying, on the off chance that it doesn't last forever, appreciate what's happening right now because it is.
You almost wish you could spread him out a little bit.
It's unprecedented.
Give me a couple more years before you come to Ohio State. Listen, Quincy, you're amazing. Maybe come in 3 years.
You're on ice right now. Yeah. Right? Just hang out over here until Jeremiah's gone. But I think it's a great point because Brandon Ennis is right there in that conversation. And if you're fast forwarding, which I really, you know, Mylon Graham and Brandon Ennis aren't going to do the exact same thing, but you know, maybe Bryson Rogers could. I don't know how you use it all. That's another question I think that we had a few weeks ago. Like, what's Brian Hartline going to do with them all? I think Brandon Ennis allows you to just say, well, here's the Emeka role from a year ago. Mm-hmm. Here's just some of what Jackson did. And it's like, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. The other one, and this is just an entire room, and I thought it was really interesting. Keenan Bailey was on with Bobby Carpenter, mm-hmm. and I listened to that interview, and man, we are sleeping on. Or not, we aren't the tight end.
Me?
We aren't.
Me?
Nationally, this tight end room is getting slept on in a way that I...
The people listening right now, they're like, Austin just won't stop talking about the tight ends.
That's
you're talking about a different show.
Yeah. This tight end room. I mean, Max Clair, I don't know how to describe this. If you put Max Clair on Georgia, if he went from Purdue to Georgia, I think all offseason we'd be hearing about Max Clair is
he's the new Brock Bowers.
Yes, exactly. Oh, you got to look. You go down to Georgia and there's Max Clair. It's remarkable that no one is talking about it. He's the best receiving tight end in the country, and not a word. Not, I mean, you talk about Ohio State, you get Jeremiah Smith, Caleb Downs, you get the quarterback conversation, Sonny Styles. By the time you get to Max Clair, you're like, wow, are they really going to have enough passes?
It's Ohio State. They don't throw the tight end.
I think that this team is going to very much, and I've said this before on Talking Tuesday, I look back to that Clemson in the Sugar Bowl game. Mm-hmm. If you think that Ryan Day doesn't like to cook up stuff for the tight end when he has the talent at tight end, it creates an unimaginable challenge for the defense. When you go through all the receivers we talked about, you've got a former wide receiver coming out of the backfield now. And then, oh, there's the greatest receiving tight end in the country right now that I also have to cover. It's an insurmountable challenge for so many teams. And I feel like so often we just sit here with tight ends and think, well, they block. They'll block and he's a good blocker.
Yeah.
That's not what it's going to be this year. And I mean, that's just starting with Max Clair. We still haven't seen the other tight ends get their moment in the sun. I mean, it's...
We were about to before Will Kaczmarek suffered that injury at Oregon. So I think that there is... My personal view, Adam, is that you brought up the Clemson Sugar Bowl. I think this combination of Max Clair and Will Kaczmarek can be like the evolutionary version of Luke Farrell and Jeremy Rucker.
Yeah.
That's what I think can happen. Now, maybe the conversation cooled off for Max Clair, partially because if you think back to the spring camp and the 5 practices that we got to see, there were times where it was like, well, Max Clair is in a new spot and he's learning a new offense. He's learning new responsibilities and he wants to become a better blocker and a more all-around guy. Will Kaczmarek had the same thing. By the middle of camp, it's like, let's cool it a little bit. It doesn't look like he's actually just dominating practice. And then by the end, you're like, well, every practice he's staying after and you're starting to get more comfortable. And then the athleticism shows and he's doing this well and that well. You know what? Max Clair is going to do the same thing. By the time he got to the spring game, it looked very different than practice number one. And he makes that play down the middle. And it looked like, I don't know if it was the same route as Jeremy Ruckert in the Big Ten championship game. And it wasn't a one-handed catch, but it certainly jogged my memory to go back to that particular play. It's like, ooh, if this is what Ohio State has here and Kaczmarek can do the all-around stuff and he's going to put his face mask on somebody's chest and put him in the ground. And if you need him to catch, he will, similar to Farrell. And then you're turning Max Clair loose down the seam like Jeremy Ruckert, that's going to be, whether it's Julian Sain or Lincoln Keenholz, and we'll have all those conversations on July 31st, whoever it is, they're going to be reaping the benefits of that tight end stretching and putting teams in conflict over the middle of the field. And you mentioned Brandon Ennis, like both of those guys are going to be operating more in the middle of the field. Good luck.
I think it's interesting. People often say you never see it. And for the longest time, people say you couldn't see a team with an elite running back, elite wide receivers really utilize the tight end in a good way. Look at the modern NFL.
Sure.
When you look at the top teams in the modern NFL, look at the Lions. They've got Jahmyr Gibbs. They've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then, oh yeah, they've got the greatest young tight end in the league. You look at, obviously, the big one, the Chiefs, although they can't seem to find a wide receiver to save their lives now.
It's a little bit different for them.
Yeah, the 49ers. I mean, the utilization of a big tight end that can catch the football can absolutely change an offense. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. The G. Scott play absolutely set the tone for that Oregon game.
Did.
Because nobody thought Ohio State's going to their tight end on the first play of this game.
Yeah.
And I am very excited to see. The one thing that Ryan Day has shown me the last few years is, and it's kind of the let Ryan Day cook. Like when Ryan gets, I said this to Chip after that, he's not here anymore, but I said this to Chip out of the national title that people said he's in his bag.
Yeah.
I said, do you know what in your bag means, coach? And he said, I don't know what any of that means. And he just kind of laughed. But I said, coach, you were in your bag here down the stretch.
I remember, which game was it where he lost his backpack?
He was in his bag. He was out of his bag.
That it was lost. He didn't know where it was.
And I'm so excited to see how they take all these pieces. And kind of by like week 5, everybody's like, well, I don't know how you stop this Buckeye offense. And maybe it's the video game. I'm all in on Julian Sain. I think we can all agree it still feels like he's leading this competition.
I saw clips of him throwing it 75 yards in the air.
I mean, just perfectly drops it
into
Jeremiah Smith. Exactly.
Guess it's over.
It's over. But I just feel like the offense that lost so much, I am just really not where I'm like giddy to see the offense because, and my bold prediction was that tight end scored 2 touchdowns in the Texas game.
And really?
I said that, and I'm sticking to it.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
I need to write these down.
Yeah, write it down.
We'll just have another bold prediction show. And you'll be like, you know what, Austin? I'm 2 tight ends.
2 tight ends.
In this game that's coming up tomorrow. I mean, it sounds like you're rewatching a lot of the Clemson Sugar Bowl.
You know, here's the problem. I have Jeremy Ruckert in one of my fantasy dynasty leagues. Uh-huh. I've been holding him for a long time.
Yeah.
Just maybe with Justin Fields, we can.
I think that's what he needs.
Rehash it all.
Yeah, bring it back. Okay, so that's 2 offensive picks. Do you have someone on defense?
Someone on defense. This is not. I mean, this is. Have you ever seen the Dexter's Laboratory where he's got the little picture in the locker?
Isn't it Laboratory?
Dexter's Laboratory. He's got the picture in the locker,
yeah, huh?
And it's the guy. And one of my buddies has long had that picture with Kenyatta Jackson's face on the locker. And we're talking 2 years now. And anytime Kenyatta makes a play, he sends me that picture. And it's so funny because he has been on the Kenyatta Jackson train since the very beginning. And I feel like all this worry about the defensive line, I think there is a world where Kenyatta Jackson is a household name by the end of the season.
Okay.
People aren't sleeping on him because he's a star. He's going to be a starter on this team. He's going to be a huge player. But I think the question is expectation versus, you know, are you a starter? And I think there are a lot of people that are worried. But Kenyatta has shown a lot when he's been given the opportunity to play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been behind 2 elite guys, 2 NFL guys that are going to start and make a lot of headway. But I'm just really excited to see how he fits into this defense, giving his full opportunity. I mean, if you're picking a leader in sacks for the season, I think he's got to be my pick. Okay. You think that's crazy to say? It feels like.
No, it's not crazy to take.
Yeah.
I think the
leading cut. Yeah.
DE number one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, I love watching Caden Curry. He plays with maniacal energy.
Mm-hmm.
He used to just be, well, hey, watch this kickoff coverage unit because there's a defensive end that's running down there and he's been begging for an opportunity and that's the only time he's going to go do it. It's like, Caden Curry is a great football player. If you're saying, if you just put them next to each other and which one of these guys was designed in Dexter's Laboratory to go rush the passer, then you pick Kenyatta Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been waiting, many people, including your buddy there, multiple years for him to take that next step. And it wasn't a matter of, you know, I think some of it is you have to learn to develop your body. You have to learn how to handle that many reps. And, you know, some of that is if JT and Jack are in your way, you can't learn on the field doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe, you know, so it's not necessarily that he wasn't putting in time in the weight room or wasn't on the practice field. I don't know exactly, maybe a combination of factors, but when he got in, and then JT's dealing with the ankle injury in the playoff push, Kenyatta Jackson did not look out of place.
No.
Didn't make a ton of plays, but like really won in every game. You're like, ooh, okay, he's flashing there. It's about to turn the corner for Kenyatta time. And it didn't have to happen in the playoff push once JT was able to stay healthy enough to finish out the championship game and all that. But I thought those few plays that he was getting in December and January are hinting at what you're talking about, the high-end upside, that he's going to go be dominant. Now, if we're making a bold prediction, I think there's going to be enough rush the passer opportunities for someone like Arvell Reese, potentially CJ Hicks, that makes that a competition.
CJ Hicks, I think, is your 1A, 1B in my mind with Kenyatta.
But it's not wrong to be like, you know what? It's probably going to be Kenyatta Jackson because you're talking about probably the defensive end who's going to play the highest volume of snaps.
Well, and I think, and again, I'm not picking him almost in the Brandon Ennis way, where I'm not picking him because, well, nobody knows this guy's name. Let me tell you about Kenyatta.
Well, nationally, I don't know that they do.
But
Florida State does.
Yes. Well done. I just think that there are a lot of people that are so worried about this defensive line that they've gotten rid of the upside of what it can be, what Caden Curry and Kenyatta can be, what CJ, I mean, obviously, I didn't want to pick it because it's low-hanging fruit, but I'm so excited to see CJ. I'm like a kid on Christmas with CJ Hicks. I want to see what this looks like. I think that he could be a breakout player this year. We've talked about CJ for years, and I just think there's so much, not negativity, but so many question marks of how this is all going to look that at the end of the day, I think as you mentioned, Kenyatta very much filled his role when he needed to be in there last year. It's not always about sacks, and Ryan Day will tell you that. It's about pressuring the quarterback. It's about making them uncomfortable in the pocket. And now you've just got to take that next step where you actually get to the quarterback and you can make game-changing plays. Because I think that is, ironically, what we talked about all last year was the defensive line making game-changing plays. And then you look at the playoff run, and that's literally what won them the national title.
100%.
Yeah. And so I think it's got to be the difference between pressuring and actually getting home. But I think Kenyatta, you nailed it. He is built to be that guy. He's just got to go do it.
Yeah. All right. So I asked you for answers and for stocks, and you picked three starters for Ohio State.
Yes, because I don't, but ironically,
I guess I should have been more clear about what I was looking for.
No, because
a surprise pick. You know who's a surprise? All these guys who are starters.
Julian Sain. Let me tell you about Julian Sain. No, I guess, and I've been this way this whole offseason. I don't necessarily know that this is going to be that deep of a Buckeye team. Not that it
not it compared to last year.
Yes, exactly. Not that it can't. The talent is amazing. And I could sit here and say Quincy Porter, I think, is a breakout player. You know, we could Devin Sanchez, everyone wants to talk about. But I do think there is a real world where when we look at the snap counts at the end of the year, there is a stark difference between the top guys and right below them. Where last year, they rotated a lot trying to keep guys healthy and go through all this. I just feel like that next tier has a lot of growing to do. And so it's hard to pick a sleeper because, I mean, I guess.
Well, I mean, we'll get to that in training camp. But yeah, you let it play out.
Yes, exactly. I just feel like those three guys that I picked are three guys that people are just overlooking when they talk about the starting lineup. Or more so with Kenyatta, doubting. I mean, just straight up saying, I don't know that. I did pick the entire tight end room.
You picked an entire room. You did.
Maybe after. You know what? My sleeper, the entire Ohio State Buckeye team. There you go. I picked everyone.
Well, here's the thing, because if we're talking about your picks there, like Max Clair has not started a game at Ohio State. So that is unproven. That is a bet on the future. I'm just going to try and get to the point where I have your back on this. Not started. Brandon Ennis, not been a full-time starter at Ohio State. Kenyatta Jackson. None of these guys have started in prominent roles. And they embody why this roster as a whole is going to be different. They have to replace so many starters. We've talked about that with the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about, you know, a Mecca not being there anymore, and you have to fill that void. But the fact that you had clear-cut leaders in this maintaining your roster, you had Jack, JT, Ty, you had Cody Simon, you had Denzel Burke all back for another year, Lathan Ransom, all these guys that normally would be in the NFL made last year going into training camp. It's like you already knew who the starters were. They had been starting for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years at Ohio State. There wasn't a lot of mystery about that across the board for them, even at quarterbacks. Well, Will Howard is here and he's going to start for this guy. So it was like you had to shift your attention to the next wave and like, well, who's going to emerge? Who can supplement the rotation? Who's going to expand the snap count? Like, everyone has to do that right now. And that's to your point. It's not because there's a lack of talent. There's a bunch of positions where, like, Austin Saraveld has to go out and be a starter. We think he's going to be.
That's funny. When you first asked me that question, that was the first name that came to my mind, and I never got to him.
Well, now you can.
Now,
you have something new to say about
it? Yeah, I think he's a guy that has really proven himself to a lot of people, and now he has the opportunity. But again, that's a starter.
Yeah.
But
a first-time starter.
Yes. And I guess, if we're going like like guys that are clearly are going to have to earn it this year, I think by the end of the season, Riley Pettijohn is going to be a name that a lot of people circle.
Okay.
And yeah, and there you go. I reached into the bucket.
There's
for that
a stock.
One. Yeah. All right. I would be on the Riley Pettijohn train that by the end of this year, I don't know if he's playing meaningful snaps, but by the end of this year, we are saying next year, that man needs to get on the field and be a starter.
Okay.
And so I think that there are a couple times this year where he gets in and makes meaningful plays. But guys, like, I just feel like, I don't know how to, and maybe it's the national landscape, but I feel like there are so many people, like with the tight end room, they're just, well, they don't need the tight end room. They got a great wide receiver. We're not looking at that. With the defensive line, oh gosh, go get a transfer. What? It's awful. Everything's on fire. I just feel like there are so many areas where people are worrying about guys that I think have really high potential. And they're not worrying about the tight end room. They're just not even looking at it. They're just like walking past the door and like, well, I don't know what's going on in there. Like, I'm just a little bit surprised at this point at how you mentioned it. You said it really well with the Brandon Ennis thing. These are their guys, Carnell and Jeremiah. ooh, who are the next big stars? Like, you got to remember that a lot of the times, guys like Brandon Ennis are the ones that get, this is craziness, but you remember the Notre Dame game when they were at Notre Dame?
Mm-hmm. I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, that fourth down play. You know who the ball went to?
The fourth down throw?
Julian Fleming. He got the first down on fourth and six. That's reached right. it out.
I had forgot about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that play is the kind of plays you need to win big games. And that's where someone like Brandon Ennis, who isn't necessarily a Mecca making the catch on the 1 yard line or Marvin them trying to feed him the ball in the corner. Those are the plays that make national champions. Mm. And so a guy like Julian Fleming was not your star. He wasn't going to be on any of the reports that they say at the beginning of the broadcast. And Brandon Ennis isn't either. Kenyatta Jackson, I think by the end of the year will be. Max Clair by the end of the year will be. And Riley Pettijohn by the end of the year will be as well.
I was thinking about Emeka's catch. I was like, well, that wasn't a fourth down, so you stumped me. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. That was for now. That was it. The game was on the line.
Now the replay's playing back through my head. Like,
that was the whole thing. That was the whole kit and caboodle, as they say.
Wow.
I don't really know what that means.
It sounds right to me.
It's
And if the king says it, it must be true. Great to get a little bit of a stock watch on Tuesday. Guess what? Next Tuesday will be Ohio State at Big Ten Media Days in Las Vegas. So we'll have some fresh football breakdowns.
I read the comments.
I think they remember that.
I'm just letting them know.
Yeah. Well, you can leave those comments on the 10TV YouTube, 10TV Plus, 97.1 YouTube. I guess you can do that anywhere you download.
You can podcasts. Text Austin personally.
You can.
We're going to put his number right on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, and if it doesn't happen, I don't know. That's up that's to Bert. He's the one who had it. Actually, don't do that, Bert. No. But
he would 1,000% do it.
We appreciate you spending a part of your Tuesday with us, talking with the king. Appreciate his insights and his picks right here. Very insightful stuff, as always. And you can see him every day, all year round. He doesn't take any vacations.
I don't.
On 10TV. Television's Adam King. I am merely Austin Ward. Thanks for joining us on The Beat. We'll talk to you tomorrow.